Brad is in our Touch Points Rehab interview chair, joining us on Brad and Dan this morning, award-winning meteorologist Brad Field. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How's retirement treating you?
I'll tell you what, it's after 37 and a half years of getting home past midnight, after 37 and a half years of going to bed at 2 in the morning, it's a pretty easy adjustment for me. My biorhythms have totally changed. I'm going to bed between, say, 10 and 11 o'clock at night, getting up at 7 in the morning. It's not like a studio, though, so if you hear my puppy barking in the background or something, I'm trying to bribe him right now with some treats. But all is well, gentlemen, and thank you so much for asking.
Well, Brad, first of all, we want to put you back in the fire, so to speak, by giving us an update on Hurricane Irma. What's the latest? What's going on?
Well, we have the 8 a.m. advisory, Atlantic Standard Time, from the National Hurricane Center. And I know some folks still like to, plot the storm themselves. And what we've got is we've got 20.1 degrees north latitude. Well, we've got 69.0 west longitude. So what it's essentially doing, it's skirting along the north coast of Hispaniola. And the problem with that is if it had gone over Hispaniola, it would have had interaction with the mountains and so forth and weakened. But it's staying at sea, and that's bad. Next in line is the Turks and Caicos and the southeast Bahamas. That should be occurring this evening. And Dan and Brad, listen to this. We are projecting 15 to 20-foot storm surge.
Whoa.
So that's 15 to 20 feet above high tide, and then there'll be raucous waves on top of that. The storm still has winds of 180 miles per hour, sustained, and gusts even higher. So this is on the Saffir-Simpson scale of hurricane intensity, which goes from Category 1 to Category 5. This is Category 5. This is the worst of all. And what the categories mean for the folks at home who might not know is it ranks potential destruction. Category 5, without trying to alarm people, capable of producing catastrophic destruction.
Wow.
A Category 4... capable of producing extreme destruction, and Category 3, capable of producing extensive destruction. Now, these are the rankings of a major hurricane. Anything Category 3 or higher is a major hurricane. And the latest from the Hurricane Center is not good, because what the Hurricane Center does is it takes the storm right into the south tip of Florida and right up the east coast of Florida, essentially raking the entire eastern half of Florida with a major hurricane. And this would start over the Friday night time frame in the extreme south and make it to the extreme north of Florida Sunday morning, and then move on up toward, believe it or not, toward Charleston, South Carolina. And the latest projection has it moving inland into South Carolina in the Monday and Tuesday time frame.
Wow.
So this storm is going to probably do a whole lot of damage. What ended up happening with Harvey over in Texas was that the storm stalled in one place, and they got the heavy rain. You know, if you look at Corpus Christi, where Harvey came in, and you look at Houston, where the devastating flooding was, that's essentially like if the storm came into, say, New York City and Boston got the violent flooding. Okay. That was the distance away from the center that Houston was. So you can't just look at the center of the hurricane and say, oh, you know, the hurricane's going to hit the east coast of Florida, so on the west coast of Florida, we're fine. They're probably going to get all sorts of tremendous flooding there. But the only good news, the only silver lining here with Irma is moving. Irma is going to get picked up by a trough that's coming in. If you guys have seen the modeling on the storm,
yep.
It's moving west, moving west, moving west, and then all of a sudden it cuts to the north. And you might say, well, why did it do that? Well, the jet stream is kind of like a river of air. And, you know, if you go up to a river and you throw a stick in, the stick is going to go along with the current and move with the current. Well, it's the same thing with a storm. You throw a storm into the jet stream, it'll move along with this river of air. So what's going to happen is this trough of low pressure is going to swing toward the Gulf, and it's going to pick up Irma and move Irma to the north. So that's why all of the computer modeling is pretty much in line with Irma moving toward Florida and then moving north. So
now,
it looks like
Brad,
a pretty safe. Yes, sir.
Brad, what about Connecticut? What about here? They're saying that it's not going to hit us. Is that good reporting or not?
Well, it's. I think at this point, Brad, it would be nothing to be too concerned about. I can see some scenarios where if the storm, you know, we have the cone of uncertainty. If the storm keeps staying east of where it's projected to be, for example, it's projected to be right up along the coast of Florida now, going up into Charleston, South Carolina. If it stays on that path or to the west of that path, I think we're going to be fine up here in Connecticut. But if it stays along the eastern flank of the cone, then we have to be concerned. I put the percentage at maybe 1 in 5 right now that we have any kind of concern up here. And I'd say maybe 1 in 10 that we have any kind of major concern. For us, Brad, usually if the storm is in the Bahamas, that's when we have to really worry. Our major hurricanes that come up to New England stay sort of in the Bahamas. That way they can parallel the eastern seaboard of the United States without going over land. Once they start going over land, the friction with the mountains and the buildings and so forth breaks up the circulation quite a bit, so you don't have to worry much about the wind. But the big hurricanes we've gotten here, it's because New England sticks out into the Atlantic Ocean, and the storm stays over the ocean, which is essentially frictionless compared to the land. So the wind flow around the storm can sustain itself as it comes north up along the coast. So for us to get the big storms, they have to stay off the coast. I'm not saying that eventually some of this rain could come up here from Irma. For example, last Sunday we had the rain here from Harvey, what was left of Harvey. But certainly that was just sort of your garden variety rainstorm. We got a good soaking for the gardens and the grass and so forth, and it wasn't that big of a deal. So that's the difference here. If it goes inland and comes up, we get some rain, but if it stays on the eastern flank and it comes up, then we're dealing with something much different. But at this point, that would be Tuesday or Wednesday of next week at the earliest, so we've got plenty of time to talk about that. And, you know, we're going to be watching that very closely.
Brad, it seems to me the key to this whole scenario, then, is the jet stream that's dipping down. Is that right?
That's the key, Brad. That is the exact key. At which point does Irma make the turn? If Irma makes the turn further to the west, you know, that could mean the west coast of Florida gets into some big trouble. But right now the projections are pretty solid, and I'm sure you guys have seen on television and maybe on some of the social media these spaghetti plots.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all the different computer models showing the different scenarios. You know, I must say that one or two of the spaghetti plots do bring it up here. But, you know, maybe there are 20 of them. So that's where I got the maybe 10% chance of something happening like that. But, you know, right now I wouldn't be too concerned for us locally. I'd be saying big prayers for our friends and family in Florida. Maybe along the Georgia coast, up into South Carolina, because they look like they're in line for a big blow. Just recapping here a little bit, Brad and Dan, I think Friday evening, is when the southern tip of Florida starts getting into the tropical storm force or higher winds into northern Florida by Sunday daybreak. So Saturday night into Sunday morning in northern Florida up toward Jacksonville, and then into South Carolina up toward Charleston by Sunday evening. We also have this from the Hurricane Center, that the hurricane watch for the Florida coast, Florida Keys and southern Florida, could go into effect as early as later this morning. We've got a new advisory coming out at 11 o'clock this morning, so we'll be looking at that as well.
Wow. Brad, in all the years you have forecasted weather, have you ever seen a storm of this magnitude?
No, this is the strongest storm in the Atlantic, for sure. Mm-hmm. And there goes my dog. See, this is not a studio setting. maybe I can bribe him with a treat or two. But no, in all seriousness, guys, this is the worst storm in the history of the Atlantic. This storm has sustained its Category 5 status for a longer period of time. And I even saw comparisons with this storm and Andrew from the Hurricane Center. Irma is worse. And you remember what Andrew did to Homestead, Florida in the early 1990s.
Yeah, wow.
So this could end up being a real memorable one, analogous to Andrew in Florida, Hugo in South Carolina, Irma, southeast coast of the United States.
Wow. So anyway, Florida is going to get hit. You know what got on my nerves is when the media, some members of the media, were criticizing the governor of Florida, who I think has done a tremendous job during these kinds of storms, criticizing him for panicking people. All he was doing was to be sure that people were going to be safe. I just can't stand something like that, but it did happen.
Yeah, that's you're absolutely right, Brad. That seems entirely ridiculous. And I've seen a lot of the coverage, and I think I agree with you totally. He's done a superb job. But Brad, Dan, myself, you know, as a 37 and a half year veteran of TV news, and I know you guys are huge veterans of radio, we're in the arena, and people are going to throw rocks. No matter what you do, I think if you're the guy in the arena, and the governor of Florida is one of those guys in the arena,
yeah,
and someone's going to stand on the sideline and throw rocks
yeah
at him.
But hey, Brad, I hate to cut you short. We're running out of time. Thanks a million. We can't thank you enough for
unbelievable
that.
Well, I enjoyed it, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me on, and I'd love to give my best to all the folks in Connecticut. They've been great all these years, and I love them all.
Thanks,
Thank
Brad.
You.